do pray for him, amen? You do, I know that. And we're going to keep that up, and God will guide him and show him the doors that need to be opened and doors that need to be closed. Psalms 127, we'll get started tonight. Psalms 127. I've got outlines worked up, but I don't have titles. But I guess we're going to talk about building a home God's way. How about that? That'll work. And so the title will be the same every week. And like I said, we might squeeze a few Sunday nights in as well. But there's just a lot of things in here that I believe will be beneficial to us and will maybe help us. Psalms 127. Let's stand as we reverence the Word of God and sort of get an introduction out of the way tonight and maybe one point as we begin to move through this. It's good, like I said, it's good to have visitors again. It's good to see families. I stress very much how important it is for families to attend church together. This is mom, dads, children. This is what makes a godly home, is this picture. And we need to look at it God's way and see what we can do to help it. Psalms 127, five small verses, says this: Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pause tonight. We thank You, Lord, for all the blessings and opportunity that we have here tonight. We pray, Lord, for the next few moments that everything in our minds will be cleared except for Your Word tonight. Lord, help us focus on it. We realize, Lord, the biggest need in our country is not a new president, not changing the laws around, but, Lord, for the family to become a godly family once again. So, Lord, tonight we pray. We pray that You'll use Your Word to encourage us. We pray You'll use the Word to convict us. But, Lord, help us to leave here knowing maybe a better way than maybe we've been doing it. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. If you mark that spot, we'll be back there at least one time before we leave tonight. But go with me back to the front of your Bible, to the book of Exodus. And let's look at an introduction tonight. How many of you that is 30 years old or older can raise your hand and say, I came from a good home? Raise your hand. I came from a good home. All right. Let me tell you some facts. Just because you came from a good home does not mean your home will be good. That's a misconception that I'm afraid is derailing a lot of young families today. Mom and Granny and Grandpa are good Christians. Mom and Dad are good Christians. And we're going to go and we're going to inherit that. You don't inherit a godly family. It's something that every couple has to build. Now, let me also flip it the other way. How many of you, don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of you can honestly say, my home was not very godly? Let me tell you this. Just because you was raised in a home that wasn't very godly, just because you were raised in a home that divorce happened, does not mean your family will. It's up to you. A lot of people today have problems with this very issue I'm talking about. Some people believe that, you know what, it's just going to be good. It just can't be bad because it's been good for three or four generations and it just can't go bad. You're headed for trouble. It really makes me nervous when we do weddings because I really try to stress to those couples how important God is in a relationship. I can tell you that in 26 years of pastoring, I have seen family after family after family where only one member of that family, mom or dad,
One, only one will come to church. I want you to know that's not the way to raise a godly family. It takes two to raise it takes two to make a home. But what happens is we start out wrong, we compromise, we don't want to make trouble because we start bringing these things up. Now this starts with religion, different denominations. It starts with one's church and one's not church. It even gets involved even deeper when you talk about the different beliefs, even among Baptists. It can make problems. And so what you have to do and what you need to understand tonight before we go any further in these lessons is this. You cannot look at your mom and dad, and you cannot look at your granny and grandpa and determine how your family is going to be. It doesn't work that way. You're responsible for your home. I hope that helps some of you. I hope it helps the one that's getting ready to get married. I hope it helps the one that's already got married. You must understand, it's up to you and your spouse to help build this home. The building of a home has nothing to do with materials, physical materials. Has nothing to do with drywall and carpet and 2x4s and shingles. God said, except the Lord buildeth the house, they labor in vain that build it. It must be built around God if it's going to stand. Let me give you a scripture. The book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 5 and 6 are some good scripture. Verse 5 says, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now look at this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Preacher, you just said what my parents did does not have anything to do with my family. And then we read a verse that says that God will help the sin visit the third and the fourth generation. How many read that? You've got to read verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Listen to me tonight. I grew up for several years in a home where a father drunk. I did. But I want you to know that God helped my father change his direction. Every one of you have the opportunity. Maybe things ain't going the way you want them to. But let me tell you something tonight. Every single family here tonight has the opportunity to change the direction the way your family is going. Every single family. Let me just for fun tonight do this. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you're bold enough to say, you know what? God has changed our family's direction in a better way, I'd like for you to raise your hand. Get them high. I'm telling you what. Now look around, Mount Hebron. That's awesome right there. That's awesome. That's what God can do. It does not matter what your daddy did. It matters what you do, what you choose. And that's what you need to focus on. I read a story. I don't know if this is true or not, but it had just a great point to it. They were three masons, and masons are, you know, the guys that lay the brick. And this guy came up and said to the first mason, what are you doing? He said, I'm laying brick. Went to the next guy and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a building. He went to the next guy and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a cathedral. They're all three doing the same job. But it's how they looked at it. One guy's just laying brick. I'm afraid that's what's happening in a lot of homes today. There's people that's just laying brick. We're just having babies and we're just moved in and we're just doing this. Listen, that's not what it's about. That's not how it works. See, what God wants you to understand is, if you have children, you're building a cathedral. Not just a building. It's something that's going to make a difference in the world. I can tell you this. I have never felt overwhelmed like I did 22 years ago when Josh was put into my hands. John Land, I'm telling you, the wedding day didn't even compare to what happened when they laid him in my hand up. I felt like the whole world had just been dropped on me. I look back in the windows and all the grandparents are peeping through the windows and they're all trying to see and moms are waving and all I was doing is just holding him. And I thought, good Lord, what have I done? What have I got? Bobby, I couldn't breathe for a minute because this is an awesome thing. This is awesome. You ever think that way, Kristen? That little girl right there, what God's put in your hand? And do you ever think what you're responsible for? Oh, man, I couldn't breathe for a minute. It's overwhelming. And I realized right then and there, this is real. This is a game. See, when we was in high school class called Family Living, and they gave us an egg. You'd appreciate that, Miss Brogle. I had an egg. So I had thought of my egg. I'd draw faces on it, and I had a little bed built for it. My egg got kidnapped. Some of my buddies and kidnapped it out of my gym locker. He said, well, you shouldn't put your egg in your gym locker. That's what my teacher told me, too. You got kidnapped, got dropped. The good thing was I went and got another egg and drawed the same face on it. Nobody knew any different. But when I was holding Josh, I realized this ain't an egg. This is real. What are you parents doing? Are you just laying brick? Are you building a building? Or is this a cathedral? I want you to think about that. I want to give you the first point tonight, at least, that will sort of get you in the direction we're going. We're going to talk about raising kids. So, preacher, our kids have done come and gone. Well, there's still stuff for you to do as well. I'm not to the empty nest, and the way Rochelle's going at it, I probably never will be. She's just bringing them in from everywhere, I believe, don't you? Can you see her? You know, I told somebody Sunday, there was that story about there was a woman who lived in a shoe. You know about that, Gary? There was no husband. It was just an old woman who lived in a shoe. That's why I told her on the phone yesterday. I said, tell the stories. There's an old woman who lived in a shoe. There's no man in that story. Okay? So we need to be careful how many we're trying to bring in. But let me get you serious for a second, give you some things I believe that will help you. I believe that what we have to do is realize in raising kids, there has to be goals. And I'm going to be honest with you. It took Rochelle and I a while to get down to some of these things that I'm going to share with you in the next few weeks. But I want you to know it is impossible to raise kids God's way without goals. So what's your goals? Is your goals to have rich kids? Is your goals to have... See, one of my goals for Josh was I want him to be a hard worker. I don't know if he is or not, Richard, but my goal was, because to me that reflects back on Dad. If your son goes out and works and he's lazy, Dub, then I think that reflects back on Dad a little bit. And I didn't want that coming back on me, so I pushed him from a young age. I've had my mama come and get him out of the hay field at 11 years old. He's a big boy at 11. He could get him up off the ground up onto the wagon. And my mama said I was going to overdo it, Miss Doris. And she came and got him. That's wrong. Mama's grandmama shouldn't do that. She didn't do that for me. But she snatched him up out of that hayfield and took him out of there and said, but you know what? I wanted him to know how to work. I showed him how to look at a dipstick to see what the oil level was in it. You need to know that. There are some young men that don't know what a dipstick is. Come on. I even showed Sarah how to check it. I don't want her to depend on some man to have to check her oil. Check your own oil. You don't need a husband just to check your oil. Amen? Daddies, right? That ain't why I want her to get married just so well. I won't have to check her oil anymore. I'm okay checking her oil. I don't want her to get married just so somebody can check her oil. Okay? We got to realize that we have to have goals. Look at Proverbs 22. You know this verse, but let's go there. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Everybody here can quote this one, but you need to read it sometime just to look at it. Sometimes we quote stuff we don't even know what we quoted. Verse 6, Proverbs 22, says this, "Train up a child," and I underline this in my Bible, "in the way he should go." That means there has to be some goals out there, right? That means I'm going to raise this kid accordingly to how I want him to finish. That's training a kid with a goal. Train up a child in the way he should go. What's your goal for your kids? Should somebody like Kristen and Brandon have goals for Jillian already? Yes, they should. Is it ever too young? It's never too young. You don't. Some of you don't even have kids yet. Say, "Preacher, this stuff's a long way away from me." You need to get goals right now before you ever have babies. And start trying to focus on how you're going to get that child to reach that goal. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You all may not believe this, but some of you that's been through it like me know what I'm saying. You're going to blink your eyes, and they're going to be walking down the aisle at graduation. How'd that happen? Tyler's looking at me like, I don't even have a kid, I ain't married yet. I'm going to tell you something, Tyler. It'll happen, and you'll blink your eye, and you're going to be sitting at a graduation. You're going to think, is this real, or is this one of them? What is this? Maybe I'm just dreaming all this stuff. No, it happens that quick. You just blink your eye, and it happens. And you better have some goals set out there and a pathway to finish them goals and to get those things accomplished. Why should we have goals? Here's number one. Why should we have goals? I got you four things I want you to write down. Why you should have a goal. Number one, because God has goals for our lives. How many of you know that God has a goal for your life? Keep your Bible marked. Go with me over to the book of Romans. 8th chapter. Romans 8. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called," and I like this, "according to His purpose." That means, if God has a purpose, He has a goal for my life. But verse 29 will tell you what that goal is. So you don't have to go home and wonder, "I wonder what God has for me." 29 will tell you. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." God's goal for Ricky Stump, whose baby just graduated from high school, is for Ricky Stump to be like Jesus Christ when he's finished. So just because Miles has graduated and Nick is married doesn't mean that God's finished with Rick yet. He has a goal for Rick's life individually. He's got a role for Jenny's life individually. He had a goal for that whole family as the Stumps. He did. And his goal, bottom line, is for you and I to be like Christ. Just out of curiosity, who here tonight is like Christ? Anybody finished How many feel like you're close? I'm not raising my hand. I get reminders every day almost, Brother John, that I'm a long way away. So God's still working, but He has a goal. That's why you as a parent needs to have a goal. Let me tell you something else. Satan has a goal. What? Go with me to Job. Job chapter 1. Satan has a goal. Look at verse number 8. Job 1, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the hand. Now here is Satan's goal in verse 11. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You know what God, you know what was for God's people? Now that sounds crazy. You might have to get a DVD and re-listen to this, or CD and re-listen to that. What could Satan's goal be for God's people? He wants you and I to curse God. He wants you and I to say, God, you're just not who I thought you was. He wants you and I to give up on God. That's what Satan's goal is. He said, Preacher, we're Baptists. We believe once you're saved, you're always saved. I believe that. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about you giving up on God and just letting it go. Taking away your witness, taking away your testimony. That's what Satan's goal is. Sure, his goal is to get every one of these young people before they ever get saved. Sure, that's his goal. Sure, it's Satan's goal to get these young boys and girls after they're saved and mess their life up. Sure it is. But don't you ever think that Satan don't have goals. He does have goals. That's why you need to have a goal as a parent. Here's the third thing I want you to see about goals. Goals give unity for parents. Y'all may not believe this, but Rochelle and I are totally opposites. That don't seem to shock anybody. We are teetotally opposite. Opposite. So I'm putting this together the last few weeks. How can two people that's opposite raise kids? That my philosophy is, if you mess up, I'm coming in, I'm going to boom, 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 and I'm going to come out. Got that over with? What's next? Rochelle's like, well, now, Steve, you know, he didn't mean to. Protected, pleading, you know, the whole, she just did not want to see any of them get a whooping. My deal is, let me whoop and get it over with, we'll talk about it while we're eating. I got other things to do, just how many licks does he need and I'll do it, right? That's me. Let's do it. Get it over with. Let's go on to something else. So we had to have a goal because we're opposite. And our goal had to get together that these two people that are totally opposite can parent that boy, that girl, and that other boy, these two new girls. And you know what? By setting goals, how we would parent, by setting guidelines, how we would do it, then that always kept us together. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's why you have some couples that only one person comes to church. Because they're not agreeing and it's that important. Now, if you're a young couple and you're not agreeing that church is that important, let me tell you a secret. When you start having kids, you're going to have some problems. Come on, nod your heads. If you're raising kids and dad don't think church is that big a deal, then mama, you're in for a handful of trouble. Because there's going to come a time that them boys or them girls are going to say, well, dad don't go. Come on. I didn't say it's all going to be fun. We're going to just be laughing when we leave. I want you to know it's true. And we got to realize that we have to have goals, and those goals will help unify us. And those goals need to be made when we first get married. Before we start talking about getting married, those goals need to be together. Are we thinking the same way on this, or are we not thinking the same way? Rochelle and I both agreed that we would live in a trailer when we got married. I followed that trailer down the road. We pulled it out of a field at Nancy. And you could see the mice running around the frame of that trailer while it was going down the road. And I was so excited. It's my home going down the road. And mice are going everywhere. We got it home. We got it set up. Took them tires off. She started feeling like a real house then. And put some underpinning on it. Got stung a few times in the head because it was wasp nest that didn't fall off going down the road, you know. But you know what? We both agreed. This is how we're going to start. Listen, I'd love to have started nice cabin. I mean, we both always wanted a cabin, you know. We ain't never had one yet, but that's what we wanted. But we said, this is how we're going to start. Goals together. And we've tried to meet those goals. Just like these two little girls in Belize that everybody keeps talking about. I can tell you this, that goals are no different than they were 2 years ago when God gave us those girls. Our hearts haven't changed, our goals haven't changed. Now maybe the way we're living right now is not what we both had chose to do. But we still have that. That's what's helping us through this tough time. Let me show you something else. Goals give consent. Talk about that. Here's something you mamas are all going to love, and we're getting close to the end. But I'll tell you, your mama verses down. You know why you need goals? Because your kids are... How'd y'all like that? Hey, like that? You're sinners. Sarah's living back there. What? Call my grandbaby, Sarah. Look at Dexter. He's fighting mad now. Sinner right there, Anthony. That's why you have to have goals. Let me give you some scripture. Psalms. We'll hurry through them and write them down. Psalms 51. Verse number 5. Behold, I was in iniquity, and my mother conceived me. It's saying that David had an affair. Now she got pregnant with David. It's not what it's saying. That David was born a sinner. We're sinners by birth. Now, there's a couple more. That one of them I found that I thought was really neat. Go to Psalms 58. Verse 3. This one is so true. I bet Anthony did not know that this youngin' that he is a liar. Preacher, you shouldn't have said that. Look at Psalms 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born. Y'all say it. Speaking lies. Carolyn, I had to watch Josh a few times. I got laid off 1 year, and Shell was working at school teaching. And I had to babysit. And what I'd do is I'd stick him in a car and around. And he'd go to sleep. And I had to get him from the car seat to the bed. And I fed him too, because Rochelle would leave me this green-looking stuff to feed him. I didn't feed him that. I fed him Tutti Frutti. Because it looked good, and I tasted it. It wasn't too bad either. So I'm feeding him. And she had spinach and that other stuff. We saved that for her when she's there because he just looked back. I'd give him his Tutti Frutti and fill him up real good, put him in the car and drive him around. He'd go to sleep. I'd pick him up real easy. And I'd lean really gently in that baby. I'd sneak out of there. Oh, he would pitch a fit. He'd bow up his back and squall. And you know what he's doing, Chad? He's lying. He was bedding. He had a clean diaper on because I done changed it. He's lying. He wanted hell and he wanted to ride in that car. I'd stick him back in the car seat. Hush. I'm telling you what the psalmist said is true. They're born lying. I didn't say they're born going to hell. Okay, mamas, don't kill me when I go out the door after a while. I'm telling you that sin starts at birth with these children. You got to have goals because you are fixing to have a child that is a sinner. Go with me to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Verse 15. And there's others in Proverbs. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Right? And the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Look at this one. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself. Listen to me. Here's a problem in 2008 today. And there's probably some kids in here ain't going to like this one at all. Listen, read this, your Bible. But he, look at verse 15. But a child himself bringeth his mother to him. Well, I'm going to just let him make his own bad idea. I don't want to make my child go because he'll get older and he'll hate it. Bad idea. A child left to his decisions will make bad ones. That's why they're children. Now everything's going to change. They're going to reach 18 and then you got trouble. Okay? But what you better do is before they ever get there, you better have some goals in mind. You better realize that you have a child that is a sinner and your goals better be pointing him in the right way. One of the best scripture in the whole wide world is one we read in the book of Psalms. And that's the one we're going to quit with tonight. Okay? Psalms 127. The way I'm going, it may take 7 or 8 sermons to get this through. But I've just enjoyed this, I guess maybe too much studying it. But there's some good things in the Scripture about raising a family and having a godly home. But Psalms 127, I want you to look at verse number 4 one more time. And we'll start to head out of here, okay? And I'm going to take a whole day, and we'll just talk about this one. But look at Psalms 127:4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I don't know about all the guys in here. I know some of you have shot a bow and arrow. And I read that scripture, Brother Anthony, just like a real archer. And Josh and Sarah and Aaron are arrows. And Todd, I have to have a bull. I have to have something I'm shooting at. I just can't sling it in there and hope it hits a good spot. There's got to be a target out there. There has to be a go. There has to be something I'm trying to achieve with this kid and that one and the other ones, right? And so, as that kid is put into my bow and arrow and he's released, it's all about where I'm aiming at. John, I've had my pin set 50, 75, 100, even had one 150. I could lob it. You know what happens if you move a pin? It gets off. You know what happens if you shoot from the wrong pin? I mean, you have to be focused to shoot a bow and arrow. Listen, you've got to be focused to raise children.
You got to make sure what you're shooting at. You got to get that go out there. You got to keep it out there.
I want to share this before we left, okay? Why should you have goals to raise your kids? Why? Why should you? And what should they be? Well, I'm going to tell you what. We'll do this as we go. Your children are going to be influenced by somebody. Why not you? Every child in this building is influenced by somebody. How do I know that? Look what they're wearing. Look at their clothes. They got name brands that us mom and dads ain't got a clue who they are. We just know we had to buy it. And that kid just woke up one day and just thought, you know what? I don't know, but for some reason God's telling me I want an Abercrombie shirt. That ain't why he's wearing his hair like that. He saw so. He didn't wake up and decide that on his own. I'm telling you, every child is influenced by somebody. I guarantee if you get to where their friends are, you'll find out where their influences are. I don't want TV influencing my kids. I don't want anybody else influencing my kids. I don't even want church to be the influence of my kids. I want to be the influence of my kids. I don't want my kids to do it just because it happens at church. I want to influence my kids. I want them to look at me as the greatest influence in their life. I'm like this because. Now that's tough. But I believe that's how it is. You know, in Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He didn't say, choose if you will serve. He said, who? Y'all get that, right? It's not a matter if they're going to do this or that. It's who they're going to follow. They're going to follow somebody. Even young couples are influenced by other couples. It all gets in by influence. There's peer pressure no matter where you go. I would guarantee where Anthony works and somebody new comes on the job, I guarantee there's influence on the young guys from the older guys. Am I right? Richard, am I right? That's the way it is. We all are influenced. I want to be the one that influences my kids. But you know the bad thing is, if I teach them the bad stuff, then I'm the one to blame. You know, a lot of boys drunk their first beer at their own home. A lot of boys smoked their first cigarette at their own home. A lot of boys learned filthy language at their own home. Leave us on a good note, preacher. Don't leave us like that. How many of you want to be the main influence? That's good. You got to focus. You better get you some goals out there. You just can't shoot it in the air and hope it hits. You better get you some goals, and you better start thinking exactly. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Malachi, the 4th chapter, 6th verse, that talks about the heart of a child. I'm going to tell you how you're going to get your child. You're going to get your child if you get his or her heart. What I mean by that, you've got to get you. I taught every one of my kids to ride a bike. Josh had more skins than Sarah. Because I tried to make him ride about 2 years before Sarah did, you know. Your first kid you think's got to do everything by the time they're two. I've got him on her. You don't need training wheels. Come on. And I give him a shove and he was good for a while until he pedal. And I'd get behind him and he'd say, don't let loose, Dad, don't let loose. And I'm with him, I'm going with him. And eventually Harvey, I just stopped. You know what? Little after little after little, Phil, he started trusting me. And you quit looking to see if I was going to let loose or not. You've got to get your child's heart before you can ever get them. You'll never teach them until you get their heart. I hope tonight that we start thinking about parenting God's way. And I'm telling you, parents, you've got to get some goals. What's some goals you have? How many of you parents want to see every one of your children saved? You better get some goals. Because that's not easily achieved. You say, well, you know, I'll take them to Sunday school, I'll take them to church. I'm going to tell you something. A kid learns a whole bunch at home. Read them a story. I know Sarah and Aaron. I can't remember Josh if he got saved at home or not, but I know Sarah and Aaron did. Came to a parent that they trusted to tell me how to get to heaven. What's your goals? Do you want your kid to marry a Christian girl? You better get some goals. You want your Christian girl to marry a Christian boy? You better get some goals. And you better draw back that arrow with a lot of caution and shoot toward that target. Because I'm telling you what, when they get 18, there's not much shooting left. That's the fact. You say, well, they're still at your home. They can still do this and that. Listen, let's just be honest and realistic tonight. When they graduate from high school, they're pretty much on their own. You might be able to guide them a little bit, but you've already got them let loose from the arrow and the bow, and they're already on their way. It's not too late. But you as parents have to get together and make this happen. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight I just pause and, Lord, I look out here and I see so many families, and that's just an awesome thing. But Lord, I realize tonight there are families that are worried. There's people in this building tonight, I believe, that are worried about their home. And maybe they're worried for the wrong reasons. But Lord, I pray tonight that You'll help them understand it's up to them to make their home a godly home. It doesn't matter what their moms and dads did. It's what they're doing. There's some that are comfortable tonight because they come from Christian homes. Lord, help them realize tonight they can't be comfortable just because mom and dad have a good home and a good relationship. It doesn't mean they will. Lord, I pray tonight that through this introduction that You'll open our eyes. Give us some goals. Help us to set the targets up. And Lord, help us to start focusing. We know that You have a goal for us. We know the devil has a goal. But help us as parents get goals together. And Lord, I just pray tonight, if there's any needs in this service, that they'll be met. If there's someone here that's not saved, they don't know that for sure they're going to heaven, the Lord, tonight might be that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.